You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 22nd, 2020, and we have 45,000 dead in the nation from coronavirus. That's according to the official count. But again, we emphasize, coroners have insisted they cannot really verify if someone died of COVID-19 unless they have a COVID-19 test to run on them, and they're saving the test for the living. But if they had some underlying conditions and appeared to be COVID-19, they just got classified that way. And then comes the news from the Centers for Disease Control. A second wave could come with the start of the flu season. That's why they're advising this summer, get a flu shot. Well, of course, the U.S. Senate did pass that $484 billion relief package, funding small business loans, hospital aid, additional money for hospitals, as I said, and emergency disaster loans, and $25 billion to be spent on new testing procedures and moving forward. Now it goes to the House. Whenever Nancy Pelosi leaves her mansion in San Francisco and decides to bring the House to order. So if there's any delay, if there's any additional delay, put it again on Nancy Pelosi. We're going to get into that in more detail a little later in this hour. Attorney General Bill Barr says citizens might not like some of the restrictions they've had. And he does say our federal constitutional rights do not go away in an emergency. And if perhaps your state or your local government has imposed restrictions that are clearly a violation, he said the Department of Justice would look at some of those cases and possibly side with the citizens. You haven't heard much from Russia as to how they're dealing with coronavirus, but now this story comes out. Thousands of troops are to be quarantined for 2 weeks. This is important for Russia because coming up May 9th was to be the Victory Day Parade, the annual day parade, this time marking the 75th anniversary of the Soviet Union's victories in World War II. 15,000 troops would be participating. But now those troops are to be isolated for at least 14 days. No word if they've actually tested positive for COVID-19, but they don't want to take a chance. And many in Russia are getting more and more fed up with Putin, as coronavirus apparently is moving through the country, although the numbers coming out again, just like out of China, are not clear. Indonesia is announcing that at the end of Ramadan, when many began to return home to their villages to see their families, they're saying we're going to ban that annual exodus at the end of Ramadan, fearing again the spread of the virus. Indonesia, population 264 million, the world's largest Islamic country. President Trump saying, I'm telling our U.S. Navy again in the future, if Iranian gunboats harass our ships, get in our way, threaten our maneuvers, shoot to destroy. Good. Put an end to that. In the meantime, the Iran Revolutionary Guard is celebrating that it sent its first military satellite into orbit. Military satellite. But if they can do that, we have to question, how close are they getting to an intercontinental ballistic missile? Told you yesterday at this time that the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, might be in severe, grave health after a surgery. Now word coming out of South Korea, it appears that he might be fragile, but he's still apparently handling state affairs. And a new research paper suggests that coronavirus might actually spread through air conditioning. In fact, they believe it involved three healthy families in China when all of this began. The coronavirus got into their air conditioning system and then was distributed throughout the families. New York State is instructing paramedics, do not try to revive cardiac patients. It's a blanket do not resuscitate directive. First responders, do not try to revive patients without a pulse because of the coronavirus. That's going to be interesting in the sense of They're going to stand there and watch somebody that maybe they could revive and not do anything? I'm not sure the paramedics would do that. I think they'd probably do what they feel compelled to do, why they signed up to be on the line to help and save lives. But the New York State says, do not attempt to resuscitate. I've got Dr. Lehman coming up a little bit later. We're going to ask his opinion on that kind of order. Because there has to be a concern of spreading inside hospitals, inside clinics, and so forth. But at what point you say, that's going a little bit too far, because you're going to have someone that could be saved, and you're going to turn their back on them? I'll raise that question with Dr. Rick Lehman. That'll be coming up a little bit later in this hour. And also, more on AOC and her battle.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years' experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Maybe better than nothing. It is happening in the context of Congress having gone on recess for a month. We are going to pass a small potatoes bill, and then we are talking about recessing again until May 4th. And if we are going to bring every member or call back almost every member who can back to DC to pass a small incremental bill, and with the knowledge that we are not coming back until next month again, that's two rent checks. And the last time we left again, we lost over one 9/11's worth of people due to this lack of action.
That is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman from New York, and in her district, they've had a lot of the COVID deaths. And you hear her complaining that what we've done is pass a small bill and we waited too long to get that done. She appeared on the Rachel Maddow show, and her suggestion is that the fault lies, Brutus, at the feet of Donald Trump again. Nancy Pelosi is the one who said we're not going to come back until May 3rd. Now, with the Senate yesterday passing the bill that is putting almost $500 billion back on the table to help take care of some of the issues missed the first time around, it's been signed off by the Senate. President Trump says, as soon as you get it in front of me, I will sign it, but it's got to go through the House first. And what are we seeing? Well, you heard Ocasio-Cortez complaining that the last time we didn't do enough as soon as we should have. That falls upon Nancy Pelosi. I'm wondering, does does she really understand that Nancy Pelosi has been the blockage? Nancy Pelosi is the issue. And Nancy Pelosi and AOC, for all the public tight smiling and kumbaya, have had their odds already, because when AOC came out with her Green Deal plan and got Bernie Sanders to stand with her and endorse it, and other Democrats kind of came on board saying, well, she's the bright new shining star for the Democrats, so we will take part in it as well. Nancy was kind of cool to it. And then later, when questions came up about the power of AOC and her squad, Nancy dismissed them as, well, they might have the, you know, couple, three votes. In other words, dismissing them. So here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying all we've done so far is come up with a small bill which really didn't do anything. She said it may be better than some of the nothing, but it's happening in the context of Congress having gone on recess for a month. Who is responsible for Congress going on that recess? That's right, Pelosi. And again, she says we're going to pass a small potatoes bill, and then we're talking about recessing again until May 4th. Why don't you call it out directly, AOC? Why don't you make it clear who's to blame? Those around her are all looking to the White House and Trump as if he were to blame. And AOC is very quick to point out failings that she sees, and it has nothing to do with what Nancy's done or not done.
We are abdicating our responsibility. We haven't legislated for a month, and thousands of people are dying. Thousands of people are dying every day. And we aren't going, and we're talking about coming back. And every time we pass one of these bills, we're hearing that the real solution is coming in the next bill, and then the next bill, and the next bill. And at some point, we have to raise our hands and say, when is the solution coming? Because 2 months of rent are going to pass by before we're actually even entertaining a real bill.
Excellent point. She made an excellent point. And among those who now had 2 months of rent piled up on them, and maybe a full month of no check whatsoever, and are a loss of job now for 2 weeks plus, and still trying to get on unemployment rolls, or still trying to find something, Pelosi stands beside her refrigerator, her freezer, filled with various pints of ice cream that would cost you $13 a buck. $13, I should say, per carton. And she's got her freezer filled with so many different flavors. Are you suffering, my friend? Are you having a down-and-out day? Do you feel as if the world is colliding around you? Wouldn't it be nice to have ice cream? Would that make your day shinier? For Nancy Pelosi, that's how she spends her quarantine time in her San Francisco house. Every person who stands up and says, we can continue to let this government be closed down for a long time yet to come, is someone who has money stored away. And they're not suffering. They're not worried about the day-to-day paycheck. They're not worried about making the next car payment or even the rent payment, or whatever else they've got coming in. They've been living, if because of circumstances or planning or who knows what, just doing it day to day. And you've knocked this economy back because of this virus, because we had to. We had to do certain things. But at the point now, we need to start considering opening up. And the state of Georgia is getting ready to lead that decision. Opening with nail salons, things of that nature, starting tomorrow. And by Monday, they're going to open up restaurants and movie theaters. But many of those out there are saying, well, we might still have coronavirus in our midst. We might. But I don't see Nancy Pelosi rushing forward to get this money that the Senate put on the table yesterday with their approval. I don't see her rushing in to help out. Mitch McConnell slamming Democrats for taking 2 weeks to agree to this additional funding. Keep that in mind. You just heard AOC complain, we passed a small potatoes bill, And then we're passing another one. We're told the next one will be the right thing. When are we going to get done? She's raising very good questions. She should be targeting her leaders of her party, because that's right, as Senate Majority Leader McConnell points out. The Democrats took 2 weeks to agree to get some additional funding for small businesses. What was passed last night should have been passed 2 weeks ago. So some businesses in those 2 weeks that went under and may never open again or had to lay people off are among those employees, those of you out there that lost your job in the last 2 weeks. It's the Democrats' decision to just make you suffer a little longer. McConnell, in his statement, said, "I'm just sorry that my colleagues in the Democrat leadership took 12 days to accept the inevitable and that they shut down emergency support for Main Street and a search for partisan leverage that never materialized." That's what they were doing. They were holding small businesses, the American citizens, hostage again to get additional things they wanted into this latest bill. And then when they come out, they say, "Well, we got more money for the hospitals." I have no problem with that if it's being spent properly. "We got more money for testing," and they want to claim the Republicans didn't want money for testing. That's not right. It's a matter of how much and where it's going to be spent. But the lie will continue. The lie will continue, and it will go all the way right up to November. Obviously, we've got to open up the nation. And we're not getting help as we need it. And it comes down to the Democrats blocking it, stalling out. And if there's a Democrat out there, if there's one Democrat out there that says, "Well, you know, we got to keep everything closed down," I would ask them, "Are you comfortable? Do you have plenty of money? You're not worried about any expenses, any income coming in?" Because I tend to submit that those Democrats who are also small business owners or employees of small or medium businesses who now don't have a job or had to worry if they're not going to have the job tomorrow, that they would say, "We can't do this forever." And, of course, you've got this mainstream media that continues to peddle the story that if you open too fast, you're going to endanger lives. Well, we know that. You're not telling us anything we don't know. But as the Georgia governor prepares to open up his state, the Democrats are lining up and complaining across his state. The mayors of Atlanta, Savannah, Albany, saying, "Well, it shouldn't happen now." And every one of those I just named is a Democrat. Are you telling me in Atlanta there are not folks that are Democrats that are suffering? That are not suffering? I would think there are many Democrats in Atlanta that are suffering. And their mayor is going to fight the governor opening up the state to say restaurants can open. And the governor's made it clear to the cities across Atlanta, you cannot supersede what we declare. If we say the businesses can be open, you can't shut them down. We're going to see how that battle plays out tomorrow. And, of course, the fake news media will be there. And one of the most recent examples of fake news media is what has been going on with Chris Cuomo. And, of course, the other day I read you this piece from Brian Stetler, or whatever, their CNN columnist who wrote that. I just was so shaken. I couldn't even write my column Friday night. I crawled into bed crying over all of this. And I told you then, some people might be going to bed crying over this, but it's because they lost a loved one, or maybe they really are concerned about the world. But Stetler, to me, was faking it, fake tears, crocodile tears, as we do call them. And, of course, then we have last month Chris Cuomo, CNN anchor, announcing he tested positive and he would have to bravely host his program from his basement. Again, he's not sitting on a beanbag next to the water heater. It's a very nice home, probably somewhere in the Hamptons or wherever it would be. But then he spent all of his reports from his basement. And then he's able to come out. And then they had a crew show up just in time, also well planned, for him to come through the door and re-greet the family here at Plays.
All right, let's do a little bit of a we here in terms of what this Georgia reopening means for the rest of us and obviously to the people there, and a little bit of me here as well. We had a huge day today in Casa Cuomo. Take a look at this. All right, here it is, the official reentry from the basement, cleared by CDC. A little sweaty, just worked out, happens. This is what I've been dreaming of, literally for weeks. My wife, yeah, right. She was cleared by the CDC. She doesn't have fever. She doesn't have the symptoms anymore. More than 7 days from her quarantine. We're still a little scared, so I'll just give you one of these. 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 Bella has, of course, taken the video. This is the dream, just to be back up here doing normal things.
And I'm back in the real world. It's fake. And he's acting like he's coming out of the basement for the first time. And you hear the heavy steps walking up the stairs. It fake. Staged all the way. And on top of that, he's been out of that basement prior to then. But he wanted you to believe, well, I'm coming out for the first time to see my family and everything. But he's been caught outside recently. Oh, you want to hear the rest of this story. Because when fake news gets in your face and pushes something that this is real, this is me, I've been suffering in the basement, and now I'm coming out to join the world again. And thank God my wife and children are okay, and I'm happy. We'll take a break. When we come back, let me give you, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
Let the midnight special.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So on Easter Sunday, Chris Cuomo, who was supposed to be quarantined in his basement because of COVID-19, left the basement Easter Sunday while still sick with the virus, contagious. He and his wife and kids and apparently another family left and went about half an hour away to a piece of property where he's developing another home or building a home. The New York Post reported that, and they got that story only because there was a longtime resident of the area out on a bicycle ride on that Sunday afternoon and looked over and saw, that's Chris Cuomo. And the biker later said, I just sat on the bike. I stayed more than 100 feet from his property line and basically, what are you doing out? You're supposed to be, I thought you had the virus. Why are you outside? Why are you out of quarantine? And, of course, Cuomo didn't like that at all. And then the day after Easter, while hosting one of his radio shows, he confirmed the cyclist story. In other words, he confirmed what the guy told the Post. He said, I don't want some jackass loser, fat, tired biker to be able to pull over and able to get in my face, my space, and talk BS to me. I don't want to hear it. Some cat just basically pulls in the driveway next to yours and gets in your face about stuff. Question, Chris Cuomo. You just admitted the guy encountered you on Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, you're still supposed to be in your basement, as you told your audience that Friday before, that I'm under quarantine. I'm going to have to be doing the broadcast from the basement. Woe is me. But I'll still be here for you. I'll be doing it. And he leaves the basement and goes out half an hour away with his family and everyone else. So then this little charade that he plays out last night that we just played for you, where he comes out of the basement, indicating, I haven't been out before. Here I am. I'm finally able to get out of the basement and to see my wife and to see my kids. And in other words, I've been so confined down in my basement. It's just been so rough on me. I mean, there I was, stuck in the basement. And they had to send stuff down carefully to me so I'd have additional food and drink as needed. But I couldn't come upstairs, and I stayed in the basement. Mark my words, I stayed in the basement. Liar, liar, pants on fire, as the kids would say. You left the basement. You left it on Easter Sunday. And you got caught. You got caught because a guy looked over and said, "What are you doing? I thought you were in quarantine. Hey, you're just a jackass, loser, fat tire biker. Get out of my face." And then Cuomo added credibility to the guy's story. The guy had just been telling it, who would be going to believe him? But Cuomo, the next day, gets on his radio show and wants to call the guy out because he's so angry, not recognizing or realizing he's confirming he left the house. You think CNN would take any discipline against Cuomo for that lie at that point and leaving the house? And now lying in his broadcast last night that he's out for the first time? Do I see CNN saying, off with his head? No. And they wonder why they get called fake news. Not hard to figure that one out. We'll take a break, come back with Dr. Rick Layman and some of the new developments concerning COVID-19.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And in case you missed it in the news and commentary at the beginning of the hour, the CDC director issued a warning. Coronavirus could have a deadlier second wave later this year. We are already accounting officially, although we don't know for sure that all COVID-19, but 45,000 deaths due to COVID-19. And now the CDC director says it could come back again with the flu season as a deadlier wave. And joining us now is Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Dr. Layman, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Larry, it's good to hear your voice. How are you?
Good. So what is your response to the concern that this could sweep back through again?
Well, you know what? The concern is interesting in that they're worried that because we're going to be coming into the general flu season, it's going to be kind of like a double bundle. We're going to get the corona and the flu, and that's going to really put people back. So I think that is a concern. And what that tells you is everybody probably should go ahead and vaccinate against the influenza. And then if there is a vaccine, obviously take the vaccine. But I'm not really that worried about it because I really do believe people are going to do all the right things. Social distance, wash their hands, stay clear of other people, and I think we're going to get used to doing that.
I think, of course, we've got states trying to reopen. Georgia's going to try to do it tomorrow, start letting certain businesses reopen. And it's a balancing act as to how you start the economy again and yet keep in mind the virus is still in our midst.
Well, there's no question, and I think opening, you know, I think everyone's going to be looking to Tennessee and Georgia and these other states. The governor of Texas came out and said, look, we can't stay closed forever. We're doing more harm than good. And I agree with you. But at some point, you're just going to have to let the people that get the virus get the virus, get immunity, and get that quote-unquote herd immunity so people with the next wave already have had some exposure to the virus so that they have antibodies. And I think what we've done is we've muted that a little bit. We've stopped that normal progression where the people that are going to get sick, most people get over it. Few people don't get over it, but most people then have immunity to the virus.
Well, in fact, there was a report out of L.A. County yesterday between the county health department and I'm not sure CDC helped in it, but they had gone back and started drawing blood on different folks, and about 200 to 400,000, they found that they obviously had had coronavirus at some point, but they're still on the street, they're alive, and they're well. So we don't know how much of it's already infected folks, and they're asymptomatic.
And that's the only way you're going to find out. So early on, Johns Hopkins came out and said 6 out of 7 people that get this virus are going to be totally asymptomatic, much like the flu, and we're never going to know that we had it. And then certain people are going to get it, and the people that have this ACE protein or may get very sick. Everyone else is just going to have, you know, whatever, a cough, feel bad for a while, and then be fine. But by social distancing and doing all the things we've done, we may have saved some lives, and I think we probably have saved some lives, but we've stopped what normally would be the whole country getting immunity and some exposure again to the virus. If it's influenza, you say, hey, my friend's got it, but you don't stay home. You say, hey, I might get the flu, and then I'll be okay.
I heard you mention that some people have an A protein or something. What were you saying?
So the people that have, it's called ACE protein, ACE protein. And if you have an ACE protein, then and you get the virus, your chances of getting very sick are great.
And what is the ACE? What is the ACE protein? Or can that be commonly described?
It's a protein. It's a protein on the cell wall, and medicines that people take for high blood pressures, ACE inhibitors, mute that protein. So if you have that protein, it's felt by some of the researchers that you're at a higher risk for being sick if you were to get the virus.
Well, the other thing that's come out, according to a death VA study, they were finding at the U.S. Veterans Hospitals, they say they had a large study of hydroxychloroquine, and they say that it did not show benefit. In fact, they were still showing more deaths even if it was used.
Right. I read the study, and I question that. I mean, so in my limited, I'm an orthopedist, so I'm not an infectious disease guy, but I probably got 8 or 10 patients. We put them on the hydroxychloroquine. And I will tell you that all but one in 36 hours kind of rebounded and was fine, and they were pretty sick. Now, that's not a double-blind study like the VA did, and that's not science, but in my limited exposure to it, with using the azithromycin, you have to do both, it has worked. Now, if you look at the French study and you look at the German study, it was very effective, and the VA study, they said it wasn't effective. They had just as many deaths. So I think the story's still out a little bit on that.
So between that and getting a vaccine, that's where we are, unless we adopt what you were mentioning, pretty much I think what Sweden has done, the herd response, which means you just don't bother with it, you just let people get infected and carry it?
Well, I think the people that are at high, so you do three things. One thing is if you're at high risk, you're elderly or you smoke or you have asthma, then you probably need to shelter in place and you need to wait till this thing passes. You need to stay out of the fray, shouldn't go in large crowds, etc. Number two, I don't think there's anything wrong with the new mores that we have now, right? Washing your hands, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And social distancing at the store and at restaurants, etc. And I think that's all good. You know, if you go to the store, you shouldn't be shoulder to shoulder with people. And I think the days of mingling in a bar are maybe gone for a while because people are going to be very nervous that you're right up against somebody who you don't know, and there's a lot of somebodies that you don't know. And so those three things, I think, we can learn a lesson. But I think to try to stop everybody from getting, it was like back in the day, when your neighbor had chicken pox or something, your mom sent you over there so you'd get the chicken pox so you wouldn't have it anymore. And we've stopped all that. So, we've not let that happen. So now nobody has immunity to the virus except people that get sick. Well, as they showed in California, a lot of people are going to get secondary immunity. Maybe they didn't get sick, but they got a little of the virus, enough of it so that they've got antibodies, and they're going to be fine.
And, of course, then we all want to know, do we have it or not? Now, there's a Abbott Labs is going to come out with what they consider rapid test and home testing, but some are already saying there'll be too many false negatives.
Well, you know, you have to start somewhere, so you can't have it both ways. I mean, you know, the Democrats keep saying we don't have testing, and then they're going to say, well, these tests aren't good enough. But Harvard came out and said you have to have 20 million tests a day. Now, who is going to test 20 million people a day? I mean, who has, you know, where's the personnel for that? So I think the best we're going to be able to do is to have home testing and home antibody testing, and I think that's the best we're going to be able to do. And are you going to have some false negatives? Yes. Are the tests going to get better over the next 4 to 6 months? Yes. And are more people going to, you know, have this immunity? Sure. So based on that, I think that's the place to start. But that's the only realistic way to do it. I think to think you're going to test, and again, you can read the study, 20 million people. You couldn't test 20 million people in a year.
Yeah. And I don't know how would ever even begin to crack that number. So if we rely on the home test, if folks get it, they send it in, then where's the delay going to be on the testing side?
Well, so supposedly the new test is going to be like a pregnancy test. You get the test. It either tells you you have it. You know, you're either pregnant or you're not. You have the corona, you don't have the corona. The false.
So you don't have to send it back into the lab for check. It has an indicator of some type.
Right, it has a little indicator,
right.
You know, and it tells you if you have it or not. The false negative is about a half of 1%. So that's still, you know, it's not perfect. I think the testing will get better. But at least you'll have some idea in most cases if you're safe or not. And then if you've already had the virus and you didn't get sick and you have antibodies, take off your mask and go in public because, you're fine.
There was a story that came out of New York, and I wanted to get your take on this before we wrap up. Those of you in the healthcare field, be you working in your facility or working directly in a hospital and specifically with infectious diseases, you're all coming in contact with it, doing your best you can to limit those you come in contact with. New York State put out an order that paramedics, you should not try to resuscitate anyone that has had a heart attack. In other words, do not try to resuscitate because of the virus. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I read that, and that's just not what we were signed up to do. That's not our oath. That's not the medical way. So the idea is don't do CPR, don't get too close, you know, do DNR, do not resuscitate. And you know what? If that's the case, then why go? So I'm not in agreement with that. I think you have to give it your full court press. You got to try to help people the best you can. Some healthcare professionals are going to get sick. Most of them that have gotten sick have gotten better. You know, a few are going to not get better, but you know that's the risk you take. But that's what you signed up for. I mean, that's like saying I got an open net and I'm not going to shoot the puck. So, in my opinion, I feel like you know you have to treat the people that you've agreed to treat. And I'm not a fan of that DNR rule. Now, when all this passes, I guess they're going to say, hey, you can go back to, you know, resuscitation. But, again, as a healthcare professional, that's not the way I think.
And that's exactly, if someone had asked me what your opinion would be, I would have recited basically what you did. And that is, you folks stepped into that line. It's like a police officer. You get a police officer's badge, they might be shooting at you. Well, you're in that line of duty. Doctor, as always, we do appreciate what you and the rest of the medical teams around the area are doing, and I appreciate you joining us on air, sir.
Anytime, Larry. Thank you.
You bet. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Coming up in the last segment, there are some casualties in the midst of this coronavirus you might not have considered. I'll have to admit I didn't. I mean, some things that you just wouldn't have thought about. And Chicken Little could clearly say in this case, the sky is falling, at least on chickens.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I remember in the Texas, and of course not just Texas, but elsewhere where you find a lot of cattle breeding in the 70s, the market went to hell so badly. Cattle farmers could not get what they needed for their livestock. And in fact, they were, and I remember us covering it, digging large pits, herding cattle into it, the pits, and then shooting them. That was the most humane way they thought they could do it. They had to euthanize because they could no longer afford to feed the cattle. You don't starve to death, and they would just bury mass graves. And I know it was shocking for many, but those living in the area that were farmers and ranchers, they understood. Well, for chickens, the sky is falling again because of the virus. There's a Delaware chicken plant that's being said it's going to have to slaughter 2 million chickens because of staffing shortages. They're not going to make it to market. They don't have enough staff to take care of them. So when you have that happen, because you don't have enough staff, then you're going to have to look at a shortage coming up later. But who's going to be available to get chickens to the market, then process them? And then they also have the other side of which came first on that question, the chicken or the egg. There's a drop in eggs to the extent that one Minnesota farmer is going to take 60,000 of his chickens and euthanize them. Because of the virus outbreak, there's a shortage of eggs. Now, why would there be a shortage of eggs and, of course, chickens as well? Restaurants. Restaurants closed across the nation. They would be using dozens and dozens of eggs on any given day, either for just eggs or mixed with other products. They're going to have to destroy the chickens or let them starve to death. No one wants that to happen. They're going to do it as humanely as possible, but they can't afford to feed them. They can't afford to get them to market. There is no market at this point. It will come back, and when it does, the price will be up for a period of time. And you get someone like the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals that is saying these chickens don't deserve to be tossed in an old wood chipper or struck with a 2x4. They're not going to do that. But they are going to try to euthanize them in the best way possible. And what he's doing in Minnesota with his chickens, the 60,000, he had a group of 15 workers go into some of the facilities and start pumping in carbon dioxide and then use semi-trailers to haul away the birds. He said it was difficult, but I know I'm not going to see anything to put back in my checkbook. I just simply had to leave. I hated to see it happen to them like that, but I don't have an option. And these were egg-laying chickens, not those to be cut up for your fryer and for your Sunday meal. Now, had you considered how this is affecting chicken farmers and ranchers? That's one of the casualties of the coronavirus. Chickens didn't know what was coming either, did they? You can try to be light, I guess, to some extent if you want. We're talking about chickens, but it's also a matter of the livelihood of those who need them. And we're making good money with them. And then there's another casualty. And this is shocking. This began in 1925. It's been held every year except 1943 and 45. And that was because of World War II. One of those told about it, that this was not going to happen because of the virus, said, "I'm totally shattered and devastated. This has been my life for so many years, putting all my effort into be ready for this. And now I find out it's gone." That's an eighth grader speaking. She was going to take part in the National Spelling Bee coming up June 1st through the 3rd, but now it's been canceled. So that 14-year-old and other eighth graders who had competed already and qualified for the National Spelling Bee are not going to be taking part in it. It was not held as scheduled the week of May 24th, and then they had tried to reschedule it, but they don't know what's going to happen at this point. So it has been canceled. The spelling bee canceled. Which, let me quiz you briefly here. Speaking of spelling bees, think you're a pretty good speller? I just said, in a use of a sentence, if you asked me to put it in a sentence, the word canceled. The spelling bee is canceled. How do you spell canceled? Two L's or one L? Or does it depend on U.S. or British version? Canceled. Two L's or one L? You're saying two, Quentin? You're saying two? You might be right. I'll leave you with that, folks. Back here tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.